Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Well, good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deborah Simpson. Today I'm filling in for your host, Barbara Eldridge, on Trendsetting Women. And today our topic is how to grow your connections offline and bring them online. And our leading lady today is Rhonda Schur of Your Connection Consultant. Forgive me for that, Your Connection Consultant. And good morning, Rhonda. It is so nice to have you with us today. How are you doing?
Well, good morning, Deborah. How are you?
I'm terrific. I always love filling in for Barbara's busy today and had an unexpected event that came up. So I'm happy to be with you today because, of course, we know each other pretty well. We've known each other for years, so it's a lot of fun. So in talking about your business and growing connections offline, I've actually had the pleasure to have done some work with you. So when you're talking about networking and how people make connections, what are some of the best places to network offline?
Well, there's always the first place which we think of, which are the networking events, like Connected Women of Influence, the BNI, the team referral, the actual networking events where they're designed for you to make those connections and deliberately network. And one of the things that I think that's really overlooked is that every place you go is an opportunity to network, whether you happen to be just standing in line at Starbucks and there's somebody in front of you or in back of you that happens to be wearing a logoed shirt, or is an opportunity to just start a conversation, or maybe it's at a meetup or a social event. Everywhere you go, you find strangers. And remember, your mother always said, don't talk to strangers. Well, that's not true. You really do have an opportunity. Even at the grocery store, you know, it doesn't make any difference. You just know. And one of the best places that I have found, believe it or not, is actually at the nail salon. Typically, if you go at the end of a Friday when most of the business people are there. So you can network just about any place as long as you're strategic about it.
So what are some of the ways that someone can establish themselves as an expert in their field? So when they're networking, they have, you know, some impressive things to speak about with others.
Well, you know, one of the things is writing a book these days is not as difficult as it used to be in the past, you know, with self-publishing and Amazon. So using, you know, writing a book and using your book as your business card and being a little bit shameless about that, okay, is one of the easiest ways to establish credibility. Another way, and this is kind of interesting, there's a lot of tools out there. One of them is American Lifestyle Magazine. And your picture is actually at the front of the magazine. Excuse me. And so most people don't realize that, you know, it's really a marketing piece. But those are just, you know, small ways that you can establish credibility. Another one is when you're out and about, remember that you never know who you're going to meet. So always dress professionally, whether you're wearing a logoed shirt or you're dressed in a suit or you're dressed just, you know, in a way that says, I'm a professional. People give you, you know, you have 6 seconds, and people are going to respond to you based on that first impression. So credibility comes from how you package yourself, and the way that you dress is one of the most important ways.
You know, I think that's something that can't be emphasized enough when we're out. I mean, for instance, people who are in industries where their dress is more casual. Let's say that you own a landscaping business or a landscaping maintenance business. It would behoove those people as well, or those professionals, to make sure that they're either in their logoed attire or they are more professionally addressed. Because what do you think is the perception when I meet someone who is dressed for success and they meet someone who, you know, threw on their best casual outfit today?
Well, you know, I'll share a story with you because I think this is actually very, very to the point. I have a friend who came home from work one day. He's a very successful banker, excuse me, and decided, you know, okay, it's time. I'm just going to go out and buy that new BMW. So he went for a run, just took his wife's van, not his BMW, and drove over. This is in Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, to the local BMW dealership. Literally walked the lot for 20 minutes, and nobody came over to him, not one salesperson. And they were all,
wow.
You've been on a car lot, you know, they're all just standing there. So he left, excuse me, he left and he drove off and went to another dealership, still dressed the same way, still driving his wife's van, and literally two salespeople approached him. He paid cash and drove off with his brand new BMW. The next night, he went back to the dealership in Manhattan Beach, asked for the GM, and said, I just want to let you know, you see that car over there? I bought that from your competitor because I walked your lot for 20 minutes last night. Now, I wasn't dressed this way. I was actually in my running clothes, and I paid cash for that car. You might want to not judge a book by its cover. And that, I think, really is, you know, really answers your question, because we just don't get that second chance. And it's unfortunate that that's how we get judged. In fact, I'll just jump in, and I won't mention any names, but I was on a webinar that I paid $97 for on Saturday, a three-hour working webinar to learn about creating products. Excuse me. And the woman who was leading the webinar was literally in her gym clothes. She was wearing a gym top, and she had no makeup on. Her hair was pulled up the top of her head. And for 3 hours, she was conducting a webinar like that. Like, where's the credibility in that? She's with all professional people that have paid her.
You know, as much as I'm a 70s gal and we shed makeup a lot in the 70s, whenever I'm out in public, whenever I'm doing a webinar, whenever some professional is going to see me in a professional setting, I'm going to have makeup on and have my hair properly done. So it does discount your opinion, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And, you know, and I'm not saying that you need to be, you know, dressed up. I'm just saying,
right.
You know what, a little bit of lipstick, you know, comb your hair and wear a collared shirt maybe, or, you know, mm-hmm. something that doesn't look like you just, and she was literally wearing her gym clothes. So, again, it's that first impression. And I've noticed that when I'm out and about and I'm dressed, and, you know, and even if I'm just wearing really nice slacks and a blazer, I mm-hmm. have people respond to me in a completely different way than if I'm wearing something that is, you know, like my normal outfit, which is, you know, sort of glitzy jeans and a glitzy jacket. I get a totally different response because of how I'm dressed.
Yeah.
So it does make a difference.
And so when we're out and about and people are asking us questions about our business, how do you suggest they answer the questions, for instance, what do you do, without sounding like you're giving a commercial or being too salesy? Because I know sometimes I'm at an event and someone just goes right into their sales pitch. And it could be whether I ask them what they do or whether I just said hello.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I teach people and I truly believe in is, and because most people do more than one thing. We all do more than one thing. For me, for example, you know, I write LinkedIn profiles, I give talks, I do so many, I wear many different hats. So when somebody says, what do? The most interesting thing that somebody wants to do is talk about themselves. So I would turn it around, Deborah, and I would say, you know what, I'd be happy to tell you about what I do, but I'm much more interested in you. What is it that you do? And based on what you tell me, that's how I'm going to respond, because I don't know which hat to wear. So I don't want to give you a sales pitch, but I want to be more interested in you. So I just turn it back and say, I'll tell you what I do. You know what? We have lots of time for that. I'm more curious. You know, tell me about you. What do you love about what you do? Not what
that's
do you do, but what do you love
nugget.
About what you do?
Yeah, that's definitely a golden nugget. I like that strategy a lot. That definitely gets you into a complete conversation with someone else where you're not being the one that's pitching or anything like that. So I've always thought it's better to ask them about their business, you know, let them shine, and then it'll all come back on the flip side for you to be able to share your business as well. So
absolutely.
That is great strategy. Now, here's something that I'm interested in, because for my business, I've gone completely virtual in anticipation of a move to another state. So I'm making that transition right now. So how do you advise someone you've met at a networking event, or who just in the course of the day you meet someone, how do you take them from your physical reality and meet them and work with them online?
So I just ask a really simple question, and I'll say, knowing that they're a business person and knowing that the largest business platform in the world is LinkedIn, I'm curious, are you on LinkedIn? And most of the time they'll say yes, but I don't really use it.
Yes.
Excuse me. So what I'll say is, well, you know what, I'd love to send you a connection request. If there's anybody in my network that I can introduce you to, I would love to. And if LinkedIn is not where they are, ask them if they're on Facebook. Take them to, or you might even just say, you know, it would be great to just continue the conversation. Can I have your card and your email address? What's the best email address for you? So online doesn't necessarily have to be a platform. It could be something as simple as email.
Right, right. And when you see the networking, because I am embracing LinkedIn because I speak and teach technology a lot. Most people are interested in what's going on Facebook. So I'm up to speed, Facebook, Twitter. I don't even know if anybody remembers Plurk from way back when, but that's still around. But LinkedIn, you've given some advice on connecting with LinkedIn. Is that the same way you would connect with someone over on Facebook? Because the two platforms are so different. LinkedIn is very professional, so I never talk about personal stuff at LinkedIn. But if I'm on Facebook and I have business there, then I'll tend to be a little bit more personal.
Well, it starts with the invitation, so it might be something like, Deborah, so glad we met at wherever it was that we met. It could have just been Starbucks. It really doesn't make any difference. Would love to connect with you here on LinkedIn and learn more about your business. Look forward to hearing from you, and hope to have a conversation soon. Best regards. And then what you might do, if you know that person's email address, you might, or text if their phone number, just let them know, hey, I sent you a LinkedIn invitation. But always, always, always use that personal invitation to send out the connection request. Otherwise, it's just add a friend. You know, whenever I've done anything
right
on Facebook, I've never sent a personal message. It's just, and then you look to see, do I know this person, and who do we have in common?
Okay.
Does that make sense? That, you know, using that. And then when they accept, which is even more important, so when you accept that connection request, then send a thank you message saying, hey, Deborah, thanks so much for connecting with me on LinkedIn. Love to have a virtual cup of coffee or get together, whatever it happens to be. But always take it to the next step. So you thank them for accepting your connection request. So you met them offline, you connected with them online, and then what you want to do is marry the two.
That's a great suggestion. And tell me then, conversely, what is a mistake that people commonly make when they're reaching out through a tool like LinkedIn?
Well, what they do is they start out with a sales pitch. And funny, you know, I'll just tell you another story from real life. I send out connection requests that basically say, came across your profile, notice we share some common connections and some common interests. It would be great to connect and learn more about, you know, your business or whatever it happens to be. And interestingly enough, I got a response today from somebody that says, do you, and in all caps, really want to learn about me and my business, or do you just want to pitch me your services? I'm pretty sure it's the latter. So here's what I responded. And actually, you know, it was interesting that I got that. So I put, excuse me, I really do want to learn more about you and your business. Based on your great profile, you don't need my services, and I believe this is a platform for serving, not selling. You never know how we might help one another since we're both speakers and are on opposite coasts. I grew up in Boston and went to school in New York. I understand your message as I get pitched all the time and hope you do not put me in that category. Thanks, Rhonda. So, you know, I think that the mistake is that people, and my message was not at all a sales pitch, but we're so conditioned to that that, mm-hmm. you know, people say, well, I can help you to create your logo. I can help you to da-da-da-da-da. And what you really want to say is, I noticed in your profile that you are from the East Coast. I noticed you went to school here. I noticed we share this. And then say it would be great to connect. Nothing salesy because it's all about serving. It's not about selling.
Yeah, I get frequent connection requests that when I connect with them, I automatically get a pitch back. Is there a way on LinkedIn for people to discover your email address?
Well, that's a great question. That's a really great question, Deborah. Back in November, with all the spam laws, LinkedIn actually changed their default so that when you download all your connections, your email address doesn't get downloaded. Now, if you put it on your profile, as I do, somebody can get it. But what more and more people are tending to do now is actually, you know, put some sort of a calendar system where you can set an appointment with them as opposed to putting their email address there or getting an email address specifically for LinkedIn and putting it there. So they know that the people that are reaching out to them at that email address are reaching out to them because of LinkedIn, because it's not automatically downloaded from their archive. Does that make sense?
That is a nugget of gold, and I will be mining that after we get off of this call. That's brilliant. I wonder, too, are there best practices at a tool like LinkedIn that you can employ to come across to someone you've met as someone that they would like to connect with you as well?
Yeah, and one of them is just sharing content. So it might be sharing content or sharing a resource. And so it might be something like I came across this article or I recently met somebody that I think could be a great referral for you. It always starts with giving. And so, you know, sharing content or possibly even saying, thought you might find my latest book helpful. If you'd like to get a free copy, here's a link. So what you're doing is you're giving them the opportunity to opt into your email by sending them the link and giving them something of value. But it has to be something of value with no sales attached to it whatsoever.
Right. So that means you have to be somewhat delicate because you may have created a follow-up funnel of emails for that particular download that somebody took
Correct.
Off the website. So
Right.
when you use those subsequent emails, you're still in a we're getting to know you phase, and it's kind of more nurturing where maybe you're giving them some little nuggets of gold or tips that are valuable to them about their business or how they can
exactly.
make more in their business.
Here's another great example of somebody who I reached out to, and their response was, I'm happy to add you to my connections. You might be interested in joining my newsletter list where I send out weekly insight tips and exclusive content on leadership and communication. You can join at or give me your email and I'll sign you up. And I have no problem with that because what they're doing is they're saying, I don't want to sell you anything. I have all kinds of tips and cool information. And why not? You know, it's really not very invasive to do it that way, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
The invasive way is when they automatically put you on their email list and start marketing to you right away.
Exactly. And that is actually not what LinkedIn was intended for.
When we are over at LinkedIn and we are sharing content, what kind of content gets the most traction over there?
Well, there's two types of ways to share. So there are posts, which are just the short things that we put up every day, or I do every day. Mm-hmm. And then there are the articles, which are shared on the platform, the publishing platform, Pulse. With regard to the posts, and this is just my personal belief, if you want to get people to follow you, if you want to get people to like you and to get to know you, post things that are not necessarily related to your business. You might want to post a video. You might want to post a motivational quote with a question. I've gotten up to 10,000 views on just putting a motivational quote with a question. And the other thing is always comment back to people that comment on your posts and share other people's posts, because the more you share, the more they're going to share yours. So it's really about being consistent in your posting and your publishing, and also making it positive. And like we talked about Facebook a little while ago, you don't want to make it about, you know, where you went for dinner or anything like that. You want to, and here's a good example. Have you ever been to Pieology? It's a pizza place where you make your own pizza. Well, the entire wall in Pieology is just positive quotes, right? That's one of the things that's really cool. So as you're waiting online to, you know, make the order for your pizza, and so I took a picture of the sign, and it said, "From what we get, we can make a living. What we give, however, makes a life." And that was from Arthur Ashe. And I got 880 views just on that post with 49 likes and 4 comments. And that was on a Saturday night. And all I put was, "This was the sign of Pieology where I went for dinner tonight. Words are so true." You know, and usually I would ask a question and say, you know, "What are your thoughts?" So that's something very simple to post. But what you're looking to do is engage people.
Right. Right. That's one of the most important things, is getting that engagement factor over there. It helps you get to know each other a lot better. So let me ask you this. What do you suggest for people who are more introverted in terms of growing their business at networking events? You know them. They're the ones that stand behind the person who brought them because they're so shy. So how do they break the ice? What are the tips that you can give to them?
Well, number one, I would say wear something that has your logo on it, you know, so that people are going to be attracted to you. If you give people a reason to come towards you, so if you're wearing a shirt that has your logo on it, or, you know, maybe it's, you know, for the guys, they could be wearing a hat that has their logo on it. The other thing I would say is if you're introverted, go hang out where the food is. That's where most of the people are going to be. Right? Hang out where, or possibly even just hang out near the registration table, or ask one of the people at the event and just say, you know, "I'm new to this event," or "I'm actually not very good at this. I'm just wondering if you might introduce me to a couple of people." You know, I call it getting off your ask. Just, you know, saying, "Listen, I'm an introvert. This is really difficult for me. I'm just hoping that you might introduce me to a couple of the people here that you know, since I'm new to this and don't know anybody." So I think that those ways, and just smile, you know, just make eye contact and smile with somebody that looks like they're looking for someone to talk to. And there's enough extroverts out there like myself that will come and find you.
Yes, one of my strategies is when I meet somebody who's new to an event, for instance, when I'm at a Connected Women of Influence lunch and we have a guest that I might happen upon, you know, I'll take them around and introduce them, kind of give them a lay of the land so that they feel more comfortable at the event. So I always think it's good to act as the host whenever you can, because people like that. They like people, you know, paying attention to them, helping them navigate a new situation or a new event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just, you know what, it's just taking the initiative.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. We only have a few moments together. What should I have asked you that I didn't ask you?
Probably, I think the question you should have asked is in terms of, you know, LinkedIn, okay, what are the most important things that you should do on LinkedIn if you're going to use that as your mechanism to get people from offline to online? And the answer would simply be, make sure you have a professional picture, a professional headline, a banner, and a summary that tells people who you are, what you do, how they can get in touch with you, and why people work with you. Because if you're sending them to a profile that looks like you in your running clothes, then you've defeated the purpose. right? You want to make sure that, you know, you're, even if you're dressed in a suit when you met them, you know, and you're in your professional clothes, if you're sending them online to a place where you're looking like you're going to a run, you know, to the gym, then you've completely undermined everything that you did when you met them in person.
Yes. So it's really good to remember that we're in a professional setting when we're over on LinkedIn, and we should behave as so. It's not Facebook or Twitter. So that's the end of our show for today. And Rhonda, I just would love to say thank you to you for being the leading lady today. It's been a really great conversation we've had, and I really appreciate you agreeing to come on the show today so that I can find out more about LinkedIn and we can share that with our community as well. So thank you so much for being a guest today on the show.
My pleasure.
And I'd like to thank our listeners, both in the U.S. and internationally, because we are an international show, and we do have a universal audience there. So we're happy to have our audience with us today. We'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show. We air every Monday and at 9 a.m. and every Friday at 2 p.m. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. Thank you for listening, and have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.